The following message is from Bible teacher Daniel Litton and originally aired on the Peace to Live By radio broadcast. This is the message in full without any edits for timing. To hear more messages from Daniel Litton, you can visit peacetoliveby.org. You can also contact the ministry at messages@peacetoliveby.org. Now, here's the message from Daniel Litton.
Welcome to the broadcast again today. There's not going to be any sermon by me today, but rather I am continuing to answer some listeners' questions. Here with me to help me out is my friend, Pastor Larry Caldwell.
Hello, Daniel. Thank you very much for inviting me to your show. It's an honor, it's a privilege.
Now, before we get back into the questions, I'm going to ask Larry again to tell us about his background and coming to know the Lord. Larry.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm happy to be here. And my name is Pastor Larry Caldwell of New Faith Ministries. We are located off of Bryce Road. You know, God has called us with a simple mission. And his mission for our church is to feed his people spiritually and physically. And by that, feeding spiritually is the word of God. And feeding physically is through the food pantry. And by feeding his people, we are beginning to see people grow. And it's wonderful to see the growth that has taken place. Daniel, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how I came to know Christ. When I was a young man, I found out that my father that I had grown up with and known most of my life wasn't my biological father. And it was brought to me in such a way as to hurt me by a relative. But since my mom had kept us in church, I got on my knees and I simply asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know who my father is. Would you be my father? And at age 10, the Lord came into my life. Unfortunately, I didn't understand what being saved meant. I just knew that I was different and I knew that God was with me. So for many years, I went into the world and done all kinds of things that I'm not very proud of today. And I remember that the Lord was always by my side, and I could always tell that he wanted me to do something, that he had a calling on my life, that there was a ministry. And I tried everything I could do to avoid the ministry. But in my 30s, God gave me a dream. In the dream, I was in a city, and I was running from God. I was running down streets and alleys and jumping over fences, trying to avoid God at all cost. And as I looked over my shoulder, I could see that the harder I ran from God, the further away he was from me. And I remember running down this street, turning left, turning right, jumping over fences. I looked behind me and it seemed like I was getting away from the Lord. And I ended up doubling back and running to my parents' house and diving into my closet and thinking that I had escaped the calling that God had on my life. And lo and behold, as soon as I opened my eyes in the closet, he was there. And so very important for me to tell the listeners out there that God truly loves you and that he has a work that he wants to do in your life. And don't run from it. Embrace it. And if God has called you, use your calling to bring glory to his name.
Okay, that was great to hear, Larry. So now let's get back into the listeners' questions.
Okay, Daniel, here's question 6. There is so much division and heat fuming in the political realm. Where is God in all that, and how can a Christian find peace amid the drama?
All right, so obviously a big question here with a lot of heat surrounding it, I guess you would say. It's a subject that's on a lot of people's minds, this question. Definitely a subject. There is no doubt that right now we are in troublous times. I keep being reminded in my head of what Jesus said about a kingdom being divided against itself. There are obviously different approaches one can take to the politics we are faced with daily, And many of them are correct, I would say. Prayer is obviously key. It is good for a person to spend time every week praying to God about what is going on in our government and praying for our leaders. God is at the center of the political unrest, believe it or not. He cares very much about what is going on in our world. The United States is sort of a unique country in human history. We have our foundations on Christianity and trying to do what is pleasing to God. Now, obviously, we've moved away from that in certain ways in recent times. There is no doubt about that. We must remember that the battles we see going on, the ones that are good versus evil, morality versus immorality, are actually rooted in the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. These are battles that God is very involved with, and ones of which angelic and demonic forces are fighting out. As for issues like, say, national health care, I think obviously there is more than one way to go about an issue like that, and each way would be good. So in instances like this, where it really isn't good versus evil, I think the politicians whom God has appointed can definitely work something out. We need to remember that God is in control. That fact alone can give us peace. Nothing is going to happen outside of his control or without him knowing it was going to happen. He will be with us no matter what.
Wow. Another great question. Division in the political realm. Politics is divided, but the body of Christ is not divided. And this question reminded me of the love of God. And if you find this in Romans 8:35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or the peril of the sword?" We as Christians should not be separated. There should not be division amongst us. The honest truth of everything is that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. This is not our kingdom. And I recall when they asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus said, "Bring me a coin." And he simply said, "Whose face is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Well, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and render unto God what's God's." We need to, at this time, become closer to Christ, closer to our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and pray for our leaders. And God is most definitely in this because he is in control of everything. Our politicians aren't in control. Satan's not in control. God is in control. How can the Christian find peace amid the drama? Easily. It's in the Word of God and through the Spirit. As Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." So you can find peace in the Bible.
Those were some great comments, Larry. To add to what you just said, personally, I would encourage everyone not to take too much time in thinking about politics and all of that, because too much speculation will lead to bad thinking. There is more to life than politics. We have our relationships with God, with others. We have our hobbies. We have entertainment. We have so many other things to be focused on as well. So we should not give politics too much room in our lives. Think of your brain like the storage on your smartphone. If you go into your picture gallery, you don't want 50% of your pictures to be about political things, right? So why do we give so much of our thinking to it? The key is balance. Most of us probably only want to allocate, say, maybe 10% or less of our thinking to politics. I think that puts things into perspective. Now, obviously, if you work in politics, if you're a politician or you work for the government, you're going to spend more time thinking about these matters, and rightfully so, for that's your career. But for us who are not involved with these matters, I don't think we want to be giving our minds over to these issues too much and losing our sober-mindedness, like the Apostle Peter talks about in his epistle. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 1 through 4, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." One more thing I would like to add is that it is important for us to honor our leaders, no matter who they are, whether we agree with them or not. Many have taken freedom of speech to be more important, to be a more important value, and as a result, they freely speak out against our president and other leaders in the government. This, of course, is not scriptural.
You know, Daniel, I love to preach the word of God. And no matter who you are or where you come from, the gospel's got to work. The same gospel that we preach has got to work in the deepest, darkest areas of Africa. It's got to work in our political arena. It's got to work in every area in the world. If the gospel that we preach only works in Capitol Hill, there's something wrong, because this gospel is supposed to reach everybody, no matter what their state in life is. You know, Daniel, it's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy walking this walk. It's a difficult walk sometimes, because here we are trying to do what God has called us to do, and the world is telling us that it's not right. Sometimes the world is saying that what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. But we know that one day our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to come back. And I just want to encourage all of your listeners, don't be dissuaded by this world. Continue your walk with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To keep your walk with Christ holy and righteous. To not be led astray. Like the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Continuously read your Bible. Continuously pray. Continuously seek holiness and righteousness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Daniel, I'd like to share this story with you. As you know, we have a food pantry, and we had a young lady come to our church for our food pantry. And she was obviously involved in sin. And we just began to just show her love, unconditional, the same as Christ shows us love. And after a while, she began to simply ask a question. And the question was, is this a gay-friendly church? And I told her, I said, look, we love everybody, but we're not friendly to any sin, and that you're welcome here. And lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, she came. We're not here to judge anyone's sin. We're here to introduce Jesus Christ to anybody who's listening. One of the things that we like to say in our church is come in as you are, but let Christ change you on your way out. See, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means everybody. That we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But we don't stay that way. It is by the power of Jesus Christ that transforms us and gives us new life. See, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And I love the chapter in Ephesians chapter 2. He says that we are all dead in sins and dead in trespasses. And that's the whole point of all of this. is for us to become alive in Jesus Christ, to become new.
Amen, brother. That was excellent. That's a very, very good point.
Question 7. If you have a friend or acquaintance of another religion, what is the best way to witness to them?
Okay, so this is obviously an important thing for us to be doing as believers, no matter what walk of life we are in. I think when we see another person with a different religion, sometimes we get caught up in that and focused on that fact. The reality is that everyone needs to come into relationship with Jesus, professing Christian or not. Personally, when I am witnessing to anyone, I like to warm up to the individual. I like to use courteous actions, making them feel welcome, helping them with whatever I can. I want them to see that I'm on their side. Then, as I continue to have conversations with them, I can work into talking about Jesus and the Bible. It may take 3 or 4 conversations before I will start the actual witnessing with my words. I find that if we come at a person too fast or without a properly built relational foundation, it can turn the person off to what we are saying, and walls may even go up. In that case, we lose our opportunity because the person may not be open to what we have to share with them. I think patience is often key. I would say that I really don't think it is necessary that we have a deep knowledge about the person's religion before we witness to them. Sure, it's good to know the basics so you can better understand where they are coming from, but I don't think you need to have a great understanding of the religion. We can witness Jesus to anyone, and whether or not we understand their side is really not all that important. The important thing is that we display Christ-likeness and share his message clearly.
You know, the best way to witness to someone of another religion is to be whom we say that we are. If we say that we're Christians, we should be Christians. It is our lifestyle. Because believe it or not, people are watching Christians and they're judging our relationship with Christ through our actions. You know, from time to time, people come to me and they say, Larry, you're a good guy. You're a nice guy. And I always tell them, no, I'm not a nice guy. I'm a Christian. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this gives me an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about what he's done for me and how he's changed my life. You see, I know right now that if Jesus was taken from me, and I know that's impossible, you would see the real person I am. So it's the transformation that leads people to question who we are and who we serve. And when they question who we are or why are we different, then we lead them through our testimony to Jesus Christ.
That was excellent, Larry. And I would add that, you know, it really, when it comes to witnessing and even witnessing to those of other religions, it really doesn't matter whether you're an introvert or extrovert. I think by what Larry was saying, by letting our light shine before others, is another way to put it, by showing the person that we care about them, that we are on their side, I think that that hospitality, that kindness can help us lay that strong foundation, so that we can really have an impact when we get to the point where we're talking about Jesus.
What is the best way to witness to them? To love them, first. Secondly, to live for Jesus. Third, to tell them your testimony. And then fourth, point them to Jesus.
That's a very good summary of our actions. All right, Larry, so the next question is?
Question number 8, what is the best Bible translation?
All right, so this is kind of a fun and definitely interesting question. My favorite Bible translation is the King James Version. However, because it is in Old English and some of the words are outdated, I personally don't use it as my primary translation. I like to have a translation that is in more present-day English. The English Standard Version is a great modern translation, one that has a reputation for being very accurate when compared to the manuscripts that are available. I would say that it is the gold standard of Bible translations. No translation is perfect. All of them have some flaws, even the King James Version, despite what some good-hearted folks will say. The only thing I wish is that the English Standard Version had a copy, and perhaps they do, where the traditional phrases, like at the end of the Lord's Prayer and the last half of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, were kept in the actual text. I think it is best to leave verses like this in the text. Perhaps they could be bracketed or something, but they are in the footnotes.
So what is the best Bible translation? Well, I really trust the King James with the Strong's numbers. The Strong numbers are, just gives you an insight on some of the Greek. But I understand not everybody is able to read and understand the King James. So you have to be very careful in choosing a Bible. And I would agree with Daniel. The English Standard Bible is a very good version. We have to be careful that we read and understand the original intent of the Word of God so that we're not led astray.
And I would add on a side note, my favorite translations for easier understanding are the New Century Version and the Original Living Bible from the 70s, which is a paraphrase. Now, both of these, especially the Living Bible, can be hard to find for a hard copy. You may find them at a place like Half Price Books or someplace like that. Now, some Bible apps in the Apple and Google app stores have them.
All right, our final question here. How can a believer best deal with doubt? How can we learn to hand trust over to God?
Okay, so great question here. First off, I would say you're not alone in this battle. I think a lot of people struggle with doubt. We know that doubt is the opposite of faith, right? When we doubt, we are really saying, God, I really don't think I believe what you say is true. Or, God, I really don't trust you. Or, I really don't believe things are going to work out for good in the future. Doubt can be a serious problem for us as Christians, and it actually limits what God can do for us. Jesus tells us to have faith that God is on our side and that things will work out for the good no matter what the situation. And trust me, I realize this is easier said than done. Some Christians like to have everything figured out. They don't want to take any risks and want to have all the answers before doing anything. I would say, though, that there really is risk in just about everything we do. Sometimes God wants us to do what he is leading us to do without all the answers beforehand. Sometimes we need to start that ministry or take that step of growth or ask that girl out on a date. Whatever it is, we need to do it and not just keep sitting around thinking about it. Overcoming doubt takes a concerted, constant effort, at least in the beginning. Many folks don't even realize they have a problem with doubt when they really do. A lack of faith is probably one of the biggest problems in Christians' lives today. Many have love, but many also lack the next two important things, of faith and hope.
I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The more that we hear of God's love, his grace, his mercy, his goodness, the more that we read of his word, the more that we increase our faith and our fears and doubt go away. When I came to the studio here to visit Daniel, he had a little puppy here and wasn't sure whether or not we were going to get along. So Daniel gave me a treat to give to the dog. And as soon as I gave the treat to the dog, she began to trust me. And I think that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. The more that we come to him, the more that he shows us that he's real, the more we begin to trust him and we lose our doubt. But we must stay connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow, man, that was awesome, dude. Yes, Scrappy can teach us many things. Scrappy is a teacher for sure. See, God says to cast our cares on him, and he will deal with our problems, give us answers when we need them, or tell us what to do in due time. The key here, I think, is we need to make a choice. We need to choose that this is what we are going to do and not doubt, regardless of how we think or feel. In any given circumstance, we need to make a decision to the best of our knowledge and stick with that decision. We should only change our minds if we have been shown that we are incorrect in what we are thinking. So double-mindedness and doubt go hand in hand. And we remember what James has told us about the double-minded man, and that is what? That he's unstable in all his ways, and that he should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So doubt is an important thing for us to be working on in our lives. We need to hope for the best for the future, believing that God is on our sides and that he will give us help when we believe he will.
I agree. Doubt is common. Everybody doubts at some point in our lives. But thank God that he gives us a relationship with him and he understands where we are. Once again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Well, that finishes up all the questions that we have for this broadcast. I hope that both Larry's and my own knowledge of the scriptures has been helpful to you as you seek to understand these things, these biblical matters, things from the Bible, as you seek to grow in your Christian walk. Larry, I would like to thank you for your help in answering these questions and with the broadcast. Thanks for spending your time helping folks and helping them understand the scriptures more.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure having you. So today's broadcast will mark the season 4 finale of Peace to Live By. I'm at almost 90 episodes now when you include the special episodes. So I think the program has been very successful, and I've had good listener feedback. I believe the program is really working to help people, both believers and people seeking God and thinking about coming into personal relationship with God. Those are the two main objectives of the show. When I originally set out to start this program almost 4 years ago now, seems like a long time, the original goal I set for myself was to do 4 seasons. I felt that if the program could make it through 4 seasons, it would be a success. My favorite TV show when I was growing up as a kid was Knight Rider, starring David Hasselhoff and Kit, the talking car, of course. It went for 4 seasons and was a big success. So I figured if I could do 4 seasons of my show, that was a pretty good goal. Of course, season 4 of Knight Rider was my favorite season, as you had the great 2-part open with the Ramrod destroying Kit, and then the Kit's rising from the dead. Plus, you had the addition of Super Pursuit Mode, which was hot. I loved that. And RC, who was a great sidekick for Michael. Then the climax of the show was the episode where Michael got married, but then the terrorists killed his wife. Regardless, Knight Rider was a great, great show, and I hope I have provided a great show here on my end. With today's broadcast, I have reached my goal of 4 seasons, and I believe it's a great accomplishment here. Before we wrap up for today, I'm going to have Larry talk about how anyone can come into personal relationship with Christ and why that's so important for us. Jesus doesn't want to hurt people's lives, but rather he gives us real life. Larry, if you would please explain why being in right relationship with God is so good for us.
I love all the questions that were asked of us today, and I have a question asked of you. Is there anything missing in your life? Is there something in your life that you just can't seem to fill, no matter what you're searching for? You know, the 2 most beautiful days of my life was, number 1, when I was 10 and I got saved. And then the second time, much later in my life, in my 30s, late 30s, is when I fell in love with Jesus Christ. When I fell in love with Jesus Christ, he made everything new and different. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've lost your way, come to Jesus. If you're searching for the truth, come to Jesus. If you're searching for a new life, come to Jesus.
Thanks, Larry. Those were some great words there. Of course, anyone can enter this relationship by accepting what Jesus has accomplished for them on the cross, trusting in his sacrifice and following him as guide in their life. If you would like to do that today, all you need to do is confess that to God, and I think you will be amazed at the new life that is ahead of you. Pray with me to God. God, I come to you today separated from you as a sinner, but I don't want to be distant from you any longer. I willingly turn from my sins and accept Jesus as the guide of my life. I believe that he died on the cross for me, for my sins, and that he rose from the dead. Please change me, Father, and make me become a new person, a new creation, and you into living life through your power and your wisdom, so that I can be like you want me to be, so that I can be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we wrap up here for the day, I'd like to finish in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity today to go over these questions and to try to help people better understand the topics at hand. And I thank you for Larry's willingness to come on the show and to help listeners by adding his insight to these topics. And I'm sure this has been an encouragement to many, as I believe these questions apply to many folks. Father, I also want to thank you for the opportunity to do these sermons on the radio. I thank you for this privilege and this way to serve, and I pray that the messages will continue to be a blessing to Christians and to help those who are seeking you or who are trying to understand what Jesus is all about. So, Father, please bless us all as we go about the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, thanks, Larry, and thank you, the listener, for your time today, and I hope everyone has a great summer.
You've been listening to Daniel Litton, featured Bible teacher on the Peace to Live By radio broadcast. To hear more messages from Daniel Litton, you can visit peacetoliveby.org. That's peacetoliveby.org. You can also contact the ministry at messages@peacetoliveby.org. This message is protected under copyright law, all rights reserved.